All right.
That was fun. Fun worshiping together, wasn't it? And even fun just having the kids up here and parents. Man, that was just very worshipful, very meaningful. So here's kind of where we're going. We obviously started into knowing that we're going to be talking about Colossians 3, 20 through 21. And trying to think through some ways of just simplifying this concept for us this morning, just with the time that we have. But as I've been thinking through parenting and thinking through, man, parents, oh man, bless you all. Like, parenting is tough, isn't it? Like, one of the things that I was thinking through, there were two decisions that I don't feel like I was very well prepared for in making a decision in my life. One was being married. I don't feel like I was very well trained to care for my wife's heart, and I'm not taking back that decision. It's just something that, man, I was like, how on earth do I care for this wonderful woman? How do I care for her heart? And you go through this, and you can feel overwhelmed. Any of you feel like that when you're first married? Like, oh my goodness, what on earth am I doing? How do I do this? And you're trying to walk by faith, and you're doing what you know to do. And you're stumbling sometimes and making a failure, and then hopefully you're failing forward. And then that second one was when we had kids. And I was like, oh man. One, when I first held my daughter, I was like, oh, poor girl. She looks like her daddy, not her mom. Poor girl. She's going to have to deal with that the rest of her life. But then I was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to care for this precious little thing? How am I going to... It was overwhelming for me to think through caring for this little one as they're coming into a world that, man, there are going to be heartaches, there are going to be difficulties at face, and I'm going to want to face them all and try to keep her from facing any of them on her own. And man, I felt overwhelmed. So those two decisions, as I look through being a parent, man, it is a tough, tough thing. And yet, I want to come in back into Scripture and want us to kind of look together at Colossians 3, 20, because there's some information that we just really need instruction on from the Lord. And as a church, if we're going to grow, not only do we need to learn this as parents, but also we need to learn it as spiritual parents as well, on how we train up a next generation. So maybe you aren't a parent in here this morning, but the reality is that we sometimes walk with people, and I want to train them up, and I want to take another person alongside and help them grow in their faith. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have us read through. We're going to read through Colossians 3, 20 through 21, and then we're going to discuss it. So here's Colossians 3, 20 through 21. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So that's our text that we're going to be looking at this morning together. So if some of you remember, we've been talking through this idea of living in light of eternity. And one of the things that we brought up a while back is we brought up this footstool, and we had this epic battle happen here. We learned very quickly that Jim and Courtney, man, king and queen of the mountain, I think y'all could take most of us in the room. But there's this epic battle that is happening sometimes in the marriage between husband and wife, where each of us are trying to fight for power in our marriage. And the reality of not only in our marriage, but also in my life, I'm also trying to battle as well for preeminence. And what Colossians talks to us about is that it says that Christ would be preeminent in everything. And the reality is I don't always want Christ to be preeminent. You relate with me? Sometimes I just want some me time. I just want my way. I want to do it on my own. And so there's this battle that is going on in our hearts as a church, each and every one of you. There is a battle going on right now in your hearts for who is going to be preeminent in your life. Whether you're married, whether you're single, there is a battle going on, a struggle for power in your life. And what Paul is trying to talk to us about and saying, listen, that Christ would be preeminent in everything. Don't just try to do this on your own. Don't try to do this through self-improvement or behavior modification. Don't just try to look good on the outside. Actually let Christ come and change you from the inside out. As you accept him as your Savior, realizing that you've sinned against a holy God and that you can't do this on your own, you come humbly by faith and say, man, I needed you to die on the cross for me. And now that I have this acceptance with God because of his son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for my sin, paying my penalty of debt that I had accrued, and now I'm made right with God, and now he starts this process of renewing me and changing me into the person that I need to be. So there's this battle that is going on, and I wonder if you've thought through how this impacts marriage, or specifically parenting. So thinking through that image of the footstool, is your life consumed by self? Are you on the throne? Because that will impact your parenting. I've experienced it. I've done it. How does it impact it? What does it look like? Well, when I'm on the throne parenting, it's more characterized by anger, despair, avoidance, guilt, struggles for control. I'm trying to control and manipulate my kids. I'm not loving them through things. I'm controlling them. Well, how do I view my kids when I'm on the throne? Man, I want my way. I want my time. I want, these kids are getting in the way of everything. Dang it, I just want some free time. All of a sudden, my kids, instead of being a blessing, now all of a sudden, they're getting in the way of my desires, for my fulfillment, my free time, my me and all of that. So as a parent, if I'm on the throne, it will absolutely change how I parent. Well, now what about Christ? What if Christ is on the throne? How will that impact me as a parent? And it absolutely will. Parenting will be approached and it will be characterized by contentment and peace and love and joy. There'll be a commitment to the long-term, and I say that intentionally, long-term good of my child. I'm not just trying to make peace through occasional moments. I'm actually trying to look at what's best in the long-term for my child. I'm starting to take more of an eternal perspective, not just the moment for the child. So we desperately need to have lives that are where Christ is on the throne of our lives. And the reality is this is a moment by moment struggle. Do you realize that? See, it's ideal that we grow and expand our ability to allow Christ to be first in our lives and for others to experience this in our relationships. That's what God has in mind, that in my life that he starts to expand and grow this ability to walk in light of him being in the throne of my life and me not trying to take over that throne in my life. I'm to expand and grow in that. And that's the ideal of what Colossians has been talking about. We want to be rooted by Christ. We want to be built up in Christ where he's expanding our ability to live this new life. All right, so let's specifically talk about Colossians 3. So with Colossians 3:20, he says, children, obey your parents in everything. This pleases the Lord. Now, here's my question this morning for us. What was Paul after? When you look at not only just this, but fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. What's Paul really after? Somebody throw it out. What's Paul trying to get across? What does he want for people? What's that? Obedience, okay, good. So we look at that first one and we go, man, what Paul's really after is obedience of kids. Man, kids need to be obedient. My question is why? So when I came back into this passage, what is the will of God? Paul's desire was to train people and teach people what is the will of God. He's talking to a redeemed family. That's his ideal. If you've been risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1, he's looking at a family who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and he's saying, this is the ideal. If that's the case, this is what needs to happen in the relationship. Now, children, obey your parents, but why? Why do they need to obey in everything? See, God's will is this, that children obey your parents. And what's the measurement? What's the measurement of obedience? In some things? In everything. Oh my goodness, as parents, that should be overwhelming to you. Your child is going to have, what you say, what you command, they need to follow through on. Better be careful of how we command and how we issue edicts to our kids. So what is Paul after? Is it just obedience? And I'd argue that he's actually after something else. Well, what is he after? Well, let's think through long term. What's the ideal for our kids? I was wrestling with this the other day. What does God want for my kids as I've been thinking through Kiana, Lance, and Elias? Is the ideal just that they become obedient kids? Man, that would sure make my life really easy. But is that long term what God has for them? And I'd argue, no. Do we want kids that are just autonomous? That would be, you know, that's kind of the big word in parent books. Man, we want our kids to grow up and be autonomous and free from ourselves and out of the home. And trust me, I'm hoping that you one day are out of the home and on your own. Yeah. And Lance and Elias. But is that what the goal is for us as parents in parenting? Autonomy? Is it dependence? Do I want them just completely dependent on me the rest of their life? No, we can already see that. If you have seen kids that come back and cannot get out of the house, that is not what you want. You don't want a child that is perpetually dependent upon you. That's not maturity. They're not growing up. And if we're in that place where we're perpetually dependent on our parents, boy, that's something that I'm stifled. I'm not growing. I'm not maturing. Well, what's Paul after? What does he want in this? Well, listen carefully to what he says. Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? Why? For this pleases the Lord. What is it that is the ideal for my kids? I'll tell you, it's this. The ideal for our kids, God's heart in this passage is this. It's that they would learn to be God pleasers, that they would learn to hear God's voice in this. Well, how do we know that from Colossians? Is that what Paul is really trying to build, is that we would be people that can hear the voice of God and respond and act after we've listened, we act upon it. That's what we just talked about with the kids. What does it mean to obey? It means to listen, quickly listen, and then act on it right away. Is that what Paul was trying to get across with these people? Look with me at this. Consider this. How did Paul pray for maturity for this young church? And if you have your Bibles, flip over to Colossians 1, verse 9. He says this, "And so from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." This was a young church. They were young and growing, but he had this specific desire for them, and he wanted to pray for them, something very specific. What does he pray for? "Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." He's praying for ears that listen. Do you hear that? Praying for ears that would listen. What is the will of God? And I want to listen to it. That I would have this spiritual wisdom and understanding to understand, God, what is it that you want of me? What are you doing? And then what's the next step? Oh, God, I want to join in with you in that. What does he say next? He's praying for this young church, and he's saying, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, why? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. What does it mean for our kids to be mature? What does it mean for me to be mature? It's that I learn to hear the voice of God, and now all of a sudden I can take it and start walking and putting it into practice in my life, and I'm walking in a manner worthy, fully pleasing to God. That's the ideal of maturity that Paul presents and that he prays for this young church. He wanted them to hear God's voice and act. So what's the next thing? So who did Paul caution the believers to listen to? Because there's reality is there's a lot of voices out there on what this means to be mature. The next one that I would have you look at is Colossians 2:8. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And what does he say a little bit later? He says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together, grows with a growth that is from God." See, Paul didn't want them just independent. And he didn't want them listening to voices that were going to compete and draw them away from Christ. What does he want? Maturity looks like dependence on Christ, connection to Christ. Utter reliance on life from Christ. And he's praying and talking to this church and saying, listen, don't be distracted by all these other people that are trying to tell you to do all of these other things and look good on the outside. Oh man, connect yourself to Christ. Be utterly dependent on Christ. Well, what did he want to guard them against? Look at Colossians 3:23. And it says this. He's talking about these, they have died to these elemental spirits of the world, this philosophy that's being promoted by the world. Philosophies like don't handle, don't taste, don't touch, referring to things that perish according to human precepts and teaching. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting, listen to the word, self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. But do you notice what he says next? They're empty. They don't fulfill. So maybe to give you a picture of it is this. I heard this story about a guy who went over to visit a friend and he just got a new house, had done a bunch of work on the home. And so he goes over to visit his friend's house and he walks in. Now this house was immaculate on the outside. And he walks in the house and as soon as he opens the door, he takes a step in and takes a breath and gags and walks right back out of the house. And he's like, oh man, what on earth is going on in there? So they went back in and he was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. We've done all this work to the house, but it just doesn't go away. Finally, somebody came over and they realized that an animal had died in the wall and this house smelt and reeked like death. See, that's the reality of what Paul is cautioning against there. He doesn't want us to just look good on the outside and change our lives, manipulate our lives so that we kind of look good. But inside, what is really going on is there is just death going on. Here's my greatest fear. You want to know my greatest fear? Not only for my marriage, but also for my kids, is that we'd be good people. But that's it. All that you see is just nice people. We don't need Jesus. We don't need his life. We're just nice. I don't want that. Paul doesn't want that for us as believers. He talks about this life that is a resurrected life that impacts us, it impacts our relationships. And that's what he desires, this radical life that comes in that can only be captured and attained by vital connection with Jesus Christ. And so when I come back to this issue, what's the big picture? What's Paul really trying to get at? And it's not just having good kids. As parents, here's my caution. Don't let us be about just making good kids. Teach your kids. Instruct them. Help them understand who Jesus is. Help them understand who this God of the universe is, who called all things into being. He created solar systems and stars and planets. He created the grass that the kids were talking about. Introduce him to this God that has power, has might, and he can change lives. That is what we are called to do. Yes, they are to obey us. That's their responsibility. That's what they need to learn to do. Parents, help them to do that. Help them learn to obey. Why? Why do we need to help kids obey? It's so that they understand that there's authority. See, when I've talked to my kids about obeying, it's not because, man, it just makes my life easier and I just want them to obey me. I want them to understand that as they obey, one of the questions that I had one time from one of my kids is, well, why do I have to listen to you? Because I said so. That works about 4 or 5 times, parents. If you're young, 4 or 5 times, you at least have 4 or 5 times to figure out an answer to that one. And then they start asking, well, who gave you that authority? Oh, see, God graced, in this relationship, God graced people with a parent. So my responsibility is with my kids is not to go just obey me because I say so, because I'm in charge. What do I need to instruct them on? Oh, kids, there's this wonderful God. And he has absolute authority. And he has authority in my life. And I want to obey him. And part of what I'm supposed to do with you is to train you up in a way that you're to grow. And so he asks you to be obedient. So this is a matter of you obeying God. This is about your relationship with God. It's not just about being a people pleaser. This is about you and God. That's what I'm to do with my kids. That's hard. Well, what's this next part? What's the will of God for parents? Well, don't exasperate. The question would be, is this fathers or is it parents? In a Greek culture and a Roman culture, I could see it as both. But ultimately, what's the point? Parents, don't exasperate your kids. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to exasperate your kids? Parents, you need to listen to this. My wife and I have talked through when we failed our kids in this. We haven't done this perfectly. What does it mean to exasperate? Listen to this. It was defined this way. This is an irritation that takes place through unjust or overly severe treatment, which the child provoked thereby to anger must bear without being able to get satisfaction for its injured self of sense or sense of justice, and then becomes liable to a spiritless and sullen life, immoral resignation, and a despair paralyzing all moral power of the will. Do you hear what just happened to the child? What does it mean to provoke your child? It means to be overbearing and burdensome on the child. Sometimes for us as parents, what I can pay attention to in my own life is I'm quick to look at my kids and go, oh, you messed that one up. You messed this one out. Oh, no, you got to do this. Nope, you didn't do that right. That's an example of provoking your kids. Are you a parent that only focuses on just the negative behavior of your kids? Or can you look and see and see the person that God has created in them and go, oh man, that's not you. This is you. And I've seen this in you, and I want to encourage you to be this. See, what happens to the parent, what God's ideal in this isn't just that we have parent that just doesn't exasperate the kids, but what's the ultimate thing that he's wanting to prevent us from doing? Discouraging the heart of that child. Breaking them. Breaking them in a way where they don't have passion, they don't have an ability to continue. They're sullen because, man, I can't please this person. I can't please my parents. I don't know how to do this. And if I can't please them, man, you know what? God's unpleasable. Nobody's pleasable. And I just need to do things on my own. See, God, when he was talking to these parents and he was talking with this church, he was saying, listen, as a church, you want kids to obey parents. Why? This is a matter of them learning to please God. That is the most important role that we have as parents. Understanding who this wonderful God is and what it means to walk with him. So in thinking through this, man, some of that, I look at how my wife and I have walked in this. And with provoking our kids to anger, man, there's been times where I've done that. What do we do? What do you do when you realize, man, I'm messed up? And isn't the gospel so wonderful? I come to God and I confess. I just admit, man, God, I did not do that well with my kids. You know what else is good to do as a parent? Talk to your spouse. Man, I did not do this well as a parent. And I want to walk in a way that pleases God. And there's one more relationship that sometimes we forget about. Who's that? The kids. Sitting a kid down and admitting your fault before them. See, this is a part of that training with a child. That you start to teach them that when I make a mistake, where do I run? Do I try to cover it up? Do I try to minimize what just happened? Do I try to blame it on, well, if you just weren't so blah, 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 I wouldn't have done this? Or do I come before my child humbly and broken and go, I've sinned. God has ultimate authority. I've sinned. I'm sorry. That's not how he wants me to treat you. That speaks wonders to a child's heart because it's a gospel. And I confess before them and I talk to them about what I did. I had to go to Jesus and I had to talk to him about this. I need his forgiveness and I need yours. Parents, would we be parents that don't just shepherd our child's heart to look good on the outside? Would we be parents that shepherd child's heart to enjoy and delight in God? That's what Paul's talking about. Enjoy, delight in this wonderful God. As parents, that's our responsibility, is to walk with these kids and give them a big picture of God. For kids, if you're a child in here, one reason to maybe move out as a child, at least in this age, would be anyone that's still in the home of a parent. Good reason to move out and be on your own? No. If you're a child in this room, what your responsibility is to learn to obey, to realize that there is authority that God has established. And the other thing that you're to do, kids, is this. You are to learn to enjoy, to delight in this relationship that you now have with parents. God has given you so many wonderful things, to learn to be thankful for what you have. Be thankful. Be grateful. Be joyful in that. Parents, there's one more responsibility that is up to us as well. It's this. Paul is writing to a group of people that he says, if you have been raised with Christ, parents, we have to bring the gospel to our kids. We have to teach them how do I deal with sin in my life? How do I deal with guilt? How do I deal with shame? Do I hide it? Do I cover it up? Do I run from it? Or do we teach them to face it head on and admit it? Call it what it is, it's sin. And we teach them where to run with that. We teach them to run to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who actually paid the price for our sin. And he can actually cover that guilt and that shame so that we can have this wonderful relationship restored. We need to be parents who are willing to walk our kids back to Jesus with the gospel. And not just with salvation, but again, remind them of it. When they make mistakes, when we make mistakes, that we remind one another of this gospel that we've believed in and how we stand. I don't stand on my own righteousness, Tiana, Lance, Elias. I don't stand on how good a parent I am. I stand in Jesus's righteousness. That's what it means to be mature. So parents, I have a question for us. What was the definition that I gave to obey to the kids? There were two things. What were they? Quick to listen, quick to act. If that's what God is asking of our kids, would we model that behavior for them in our walk with our Savior? Let's do that. And let's walk them to Jesus. Encourage them to be the people that God has created them to be. Oh, they're a gift. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it gives instruction into our life. It gives us an ability to know your Son, what he's done on the cross for our sins. Oh, God, thank you for life that is available through your Son. God, I thank you for parents in this room. I have a parent here in this room. So thankful for parents and what they give. It's a hard, hard job. Oh God, would you be with parents? Help them to know your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Help them to walk in a manner that's worthy of you and to fully please you. Oh God, would you help them to bear fruit in that? Then as they understand what you've called them to do and they start to act on it, oh man, God, would you change the lives of kids and the people that are around them? Would kids experience a different life because of a mom and dad who maybe for the first time surrender their lives to you? And experience a mom and dad who are empowered and inspired by Jesus. God, thank you so much for this morning. Our time with the kids. Be with us as we continue to worship. In your name. Amen.